We know that God loved the world so much that he gave Jesus for our salvation. Jesus phrased it another way in Matthew 9, verses 9 through 13, with the words, "I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Those words of Jesus are Brother Johnson's topic for the sermon on this Words of Life program. Churches of Christ and other believers support this broadcast with their prayers and contributions so that the gospel message can be shared with the world. We now worship our Lord with song.
Near to the heart of God.
Please pray with me. Holy Father, we come before you in prayer with thanksgiving for all that you do for us. We are thankful for the privilege of believing in Jesus. Lord, please use all that is said for your glory. Bless each of our listeners with good health and peace that are important for them. Be with each one in the works of faith that they're doing and striving to serve you. Our hearts are burdened for the war-torn part of the world. Bless them and help them in their needs. Please protect the persecuted Christians. And when you have finished with us here upon this earth, we look forward to your taking us home with you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Using Matthew chapter 9, verses 9 through 13, Brother David Johnson will speak to us on the biblical topic, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners.
It's wonderful to be together again as we look in to the Word of God. The title for the lesson is, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. The words of the Lord Jesus. And our primary text is in the New Testament, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 9, verses 9 through 13. Please listen to the Word of God. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, he told him, and Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have come not to call the righteous, but sinners." This is the Word of God. May He add His blessing to the public reading of His Word. This is one of the so-called hard sayings or hard teachings of Jesus Christ, at least in some people's minds. For 20 centuries now, and counting, the gospel, the preaching of the gospel, and the New Testament reading have familiarized and conditioned us that Jesus' ministry was directed to sinners, contrary to what some may think. But not simply to sinners in the sense in which most people admit that we are all sinners, but sinners also in the sense that their lifestyles offended the accepted norms of their time. That is, that God hates all sin, regardless of how mankind makes a distinction between morally acceptable people versus obviously immoral people who are deemed socially unacceptable. This distinction would be, for example, between law-abiding people holding to social norms versus recovering drug addicts or recovering alcoholics struggling to live better lives. Biblical Christians fully accept the truth, the Apostle Paul wrote in his letter to Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, that says, "Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst," the Apostle Paul wrote about himself to Timothy. Paul thought of himself as the worst of sinners because before he was converted to Christ, he had blasphemed Jesus Christ, the one and only Son of God, and had severely persecuted Christ's church. Saul the persecutor became Paul the preacher, who wrote of himself as first and foremost amongst sinners, who intimately knew and in full gratitude accepted the saving grace, the undeserved favor of Christ, which he didn't, of course, deserve. However, during Jesus' public ministry, he gave great offense to many self-righteous and respectable people. That he, as a religious teacher, should have so little regard for them and instead keep company with the dregs of society This was intolerable to many, especially the religious, arrogant religious ones amongst us, amongst him as he walked on this earth at his first coming. Consider, for example, Simon the Pharisee. In Luke chapter 7, verses 37 through 39, we find these words. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume. And as she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee, who had invited him, saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." The details of this incident clearly indicates that Jesus knew she was a sinner and that he did not condone her lifestyle. However, her repentance and faith in Christ Jesus caused Jesus to state in Luke chapter 7 and verse 48, "Your sins are forgiven." However, Simon the Pharisee, a religious leader respected in the community, had disrespected Jesus, looked down on the woman in his self-righteousness, and didn't see himself as a sinner in need of repentance. How very true that same mindset of not seeing oneself as a sinner, or certainly not a, quote, big sinner, has been the case for thousands of years to today. Many will state, "I'm a good person. God knows my heart. I believe in Him. I'm going to go to heaven." Hell is only for terrible sinners, lowlifes, many think. Yet Scripture paints a different picture of Jesus as the friend of sinners. All are sinners and deserve hell to an absolutely holy God. Consider what Jesus repeated that many of the self-righteous criticized about Jesus. Luke chapter 7 and verse 34 says in part, "You say, here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners." In Jesus' day, tax collectors were working for the Romans and profiting off of their own Jewish people, which occupied the lowest type of sinner, matched only by harlots or prostitutes. We should note the gospel accounts carefully. It was not that Jesus just tolerated these type people as though he did them a favor by taking notice of them. Jesus actually gave the genuine impression that he liked their company, that he even preferred it to the self-righteous, hypocritical religious elite. When these sinners interacted with Jesus honestly, in humble repentance, and even put their faith in him, Jesus forgave and saved. He even encouraged them to feel at home with him. Consider Luke chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, 'This man welcomes sinners and eats with them.'" To accept invitations to a meal in the homes of sinners, to enjoy table fellowship with them, that was the most emphatic way of openly declaring his unity with them. That broke all first century Jewish social norms of that day. No wonder Jesus gave such offense to those who considered themselves of superior morality. Many religious people today react in much the very same way. These type confrontations with the moralists, with the religious of Jesus' public ministry were not few isolated cases. Oh no. Consider our main text in Matthew chapter 9, verses 9 through 13. On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." None of the 12 apostles Jesus chose were religious leaders. And of course, all were sinners. But 11 were men of honest hearts. 11 of the apostles were men of honest hearts that eventually repented and put their faith in Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord and Master. One, Matthew, was also considered a chief sinner, a tax collector himself. Nevertheless, Jesus chose him. The Holy Spirit even worked through him to write one of the Gospels. This Gospel that we're studying in Matthew chapter 9, verses 9 through 13. As the Apostle John wrote in John chapter 3 and verse 17, inspired of the Holy Spirit, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." That is, through Jesus Christ. And Matthew, as evil as his past had been, followed Jesus as a genuine believer, surely to his dying breath. No one can out-sin the blood of Jesus Christ. Never forget, again, no one can out-sin the blood of Jesus Christ. Why did the many tax collectors and sinners flock to Jesus? Surely, in large measure, because Jesus loved them deeply and they knew it. Because Jesus had good news to impart to them, that they were not castaways, that they could be saved. That is the formula for all of us as Christian ambassadors representing Jesus Christ today. People sense if we really care, if we really love them, if we really joyfully desire to share the good news in a bad news world with them, regardless of their past lives. Sadly, it's not just the wicked, unrepentant unbelievers who are lost without hope. It also includes an incalculable number of people who think they are safe, think they are secure, think that they are saved without humbling themselves in repentant, genuine repentant faith, because they think they are good enough to merit favor with God. Jesus gave three arguments toward the Pharisees of his gospel message of repentance and belief. A scholar writes, quote, "First, the human logic argument. Jesus said, 'It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick.' If you are indeed spiritually healthy, you do not need a spiritual physician. On the other hand, these tax collectors and sinners, who you declare, and they themselves admit, are spiritually sick, are the self-confessing sinners who need God's way of salvation presented to them. They are the ones who seek the spiritual physician, and that is why I am ministering to them. How could they, the Pharisees, neglect and even resent the healing of those whom God himself desired to heal? Those who claim to be well prove themselves to be sickest of all." Number two, the argument from Scripture. "Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice." As Jesus quoted from the Old Testament book of Hosea, chapter 6 and verse 6. Jesus was saying, God's word, not man's, calls you to be merciful and forgiving, not judgmental and condemning. God is never pleased with religious routine that does not come from sincere love of him and of other people. Without mercy, the Pharisees proved themselves to be more ungodly, even more so than the despised tax collectors and, quote, sinners who made no pretense of godliness. Thirdly, the argument from Christ's own authority. As Christ stated, "For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Jesus Christ gladly associated and identified even with tax collectors and other sinners because they are the ones who needed him. It is the repentant person who acknowledges and turns from his or her sin who is the object of Jesus' divine call. The person who is sinful but thinks he is righteous shuts himself out from God's mercy because he refuses to acknowledge his need of it. He rejects Jesus' call to salvation because he rejects the idea of his lostness. The idea, the fact, the reality of his unrighteousness. The kingdom of God is for the spiritually sick who want to be healed. Yes, the spiritually corrupt who want to be cleansed. The spiritually poor who want to be rich. The spiritually hungry who want to be fed. The spiritually dead who want to be made alive. The kingdom of heaven is for the ungodly outcasts who long to become God's own beloved children and act upon it by receiving Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and Lord through obedient faith. Do you need Jesus? Think deeply about this, because how you answer this question regarding Jesus amounts to the most important decision you will ever make.
Come on.
Thank God for His Word and the one who shared it with us. We pray that you are a Christian. If you're not a Christian, please understand that you need to be a Christian and you must believe in Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. We are shown by Bible example that people who came to believe in Jesus also repented of their sins, confessed Jesus as Savior, and were baptized by immersion in water. If we can help you, or if you have questions, please write to us. You may have a free CD of this and next week's program by asking for broadcast number 2223. That's 2223. It is our blessing to tell you that Words of Life is an international program heard on a variety of stations throughout the world. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Let me repeat that. Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wol1radio@gmail.com. That's wol1radio@gmail.com. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs inviting you to tune in again next week for another program from Words of Life. Sing them all.